Which is a more likely reunion, Vinny? Maurizio Pochettino and Tottenham or Vinny Purs and Dundalk?
There was the setup. I see it.
OTB AM. Weekdays from 7:30 AM. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with GetSet Go. Quick start car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetSetGo.ie.
Lawrence, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. You?
Yeah, good. The story is being written that Pep Guardiola got in his own head in the game at the weekend. Is it as simple as that? Was there more to it? Or is that the be-all and end-all of what happened?
Well, I think it's a large part of it because, you know, without the holding midfield players and asking Gundogan to play in there, and Gundogan, you would argue, would probably be in City's top three of performers throughout the course of the season. I just think, you know, he's done this a little bit before, where I feel that he feels he is the cleverest person in the room, and you know, he doesn't make any mistakes. Look, I mean, Chelsea dealt with it extremely well. The problem for City really was that, you know, the two Chelsea fullbacks were outstanding, and the three centre backs for Chelsea just stayed in position. And it was easy for them. I mean, it was like a cigar and armchair case. It was like, so when players came towards them, they were just like a solid wall all the time. It was only in the first maybe 10 minutes where I think Sterling almost got in a couple of times with Reece James. And that was the only time really they seriously looked like they might be capable of, well, creating chances, not just scoring.
So it's a knock-on impact, really, by making Gundogan be your defensive midfielder. He's then not herring forward the way he has been all season and creating those chances. Because, you know, we were having this conversation a little bit earlier on, and Owen's making the point that actually the players didn't really perform anyway. You know, if Fernandinho's there, it makes some difference, but it probably doesn't give Chelsea enough credit, and also then doesn't quite account for the fact that no one quite played up to their own standards for Manchester City.
No, absolutely. Yeah, you can't take away that argument whatsoever. But if you've got Fernandinho, you might not. And it's all mics and must be's and maybes. They might not have conceded the goal. That would have been the important thing, because he would have been in a position where, if you saw where the pass came through, that's his territory. And I think as well, they didn't play well. We know they didn't play well, but Gundogan's strength is getting forward and getting in the box. And especially, even more so, if you're playing without a recognised striker, false number nine, call it what you will, that's what he's really, really good at. And basically, you're taking away the strength of an outstanding player. Don't get me wrong, you know, he did okay. But why would you do that? Why would you suddenly decide, maybe, you know, the day before the game, you know what, I'm going to play him? And he probably thought, you know what, Chelsea would be really, really surprised. Well, they might have been surprised. But the problem was, City didn't really do anything then in the game to actually affect the fact that Gundogan was playing in there.
Is there a deeper reason to that, Mark? That say, with Manchester City in possession of the ball, they didn't manage to be a little bit more fluid and get Gundogan into those sorts of positions? I can see, obviously, why the knock-on impact of playing him there could be detrimental to a team sitting in that holding midfield role. But in possession, I'm sure a bit more fluidity should be seen from a Pep Guardiola side to get him into those positions.
It should be, but I think this is where you've got to really commend Chelsea for the way that they played. I mean, they got really, really tight to play. The first 10 or 15 minutes and the game started really lively, and I'm kind of thinking, wow, this is going to be fab almost end-to-end. But all Chelsea did, I mean, people talk about a low block, high block, call it what you will. They literally, when they lost the ball, they were in their own positions, but they got very, very tight to City. And it wasn't, on very few occasions did City actually manage to play for a ball from midfield that was forward and cut some of the Chelsea players out. Technically, Chelsea were outstanding. That's the best I think I've seen from them. I know they've beaten City a couple of times, but that really seriously was. I mean, the second half, City didn't really raise a gallop in all honesty. They'd be, and then De Bruyne goes on, etc. I mean, they completely nullified him. And now I think it was just a fabulous performance from Chelsea, but it was a performance, obviously, which enabled them to negate anything that Manchester City did or came up with in the game.
How should a team play against a midfield which has N'Golo Kante in it?
Yeah. Tack, get him injured. Yeah, it's difficult because he is, I think everybody realising that he is one and a half players, and anything in that area, it's just his. I mean, he's got an unbelievable ability to get around the park, but also his positional sensing and play is outstanding. His passing has got even better. And it's, I mean, so just imagine if you were City and you're up against that. What if you go a little bit longer? Play a centre forward, change it. Play a centre forward and just go a bit longer and bypass the likes of Campion and the Chelsea midfield. Get up the pitch a little bit quicker. All right, sometimes by going longer you might give the ball away, but at least then you're starting to play in Chelsea's half. And obviously that's not in the manager's. That's not in Guardiola's DNA, is it, to play that way? But sometimes, you know, it's an absolute needs must.
Well, they resorted to long throws at the end, Mark, so I'm sure that it's somewhere in their DNA deep down. Like, I mean, is it just
that
laid...
desperation, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, true. Does it just lay bare, then, this summer that Manchester City need that option, that it's not just a centre-forward who can fit into the classic Pep Guardiola style of play, that there needs to be an element of a target man to whoever they try and acquire in that position?
Yeah, because it's a point of weakness. At the moment, we know they've got Jesus. Look, I just think, as soon as you started asking me the question, I'm stood here seeing Harry Kane. Mm. Now, you know, Harry Kane can do a job on two different levels. He can be that furthermost forward, obviously, and hold the ball up, or he can drop off for you as well. If you almost want to play without a centre-forward, but just Harry Kane in that kind of... Well, I just listened to Teddy Sheringham. Harry Kane in the Teddy Sheringham position. So... Yeah. I mean, if you're Manchester City, and obviously, you know, everybody knows about the fabulous wealth, and you look at, right, well, you know, where are our problems? Well, it would appear, certainly against the top teams, that the problems are that if they play without a number nine, centre-forward, call it whatever, that's when occasionally they will have the problems. And surely as a manager, you'd want cover for every single scenario. And if I was... You know, if I'm Guardiola, I'd be thinking, let's go and buy him. You might even sell a couple of players and obviously offset the cost as well as for bringing him in. But just go and buy him. You know, give Tottenham the money that they want within reason, and it's done. And you know, then you're looking at him thinking, crikey. So you know, what would Chelsea have done against that if Harry Kane had been in there?
Probably playing N'Golo Kante in front of him, and N'Golo Kante is probably still man of the match. What's really interesting about what you say, Mark, is that does Saturday night actually affect the balance of power going into this summer's transfer market? Because if Chelsea need a player in one position, they would probably take Harry Kane.
I don't think he'd go from Tottenham to Chelsea. That would be the first thing. I think that's a little bit of a no-no. I think you're asking for trouble. Because they just seriously hate each other as football clubs, and I'm not quite sure where that actually came from. But no, I don't think. I think if Manchester City or Chelsea are in for you, I think majority of players would go to Manchester City, unless like you're a centre back and you're looking at Manchester City and you think, crikey, I might be fifth pick. Then that would obviously alter the opportunities for you. But no, I don't think it changes at all. I mean, you know, throughout the course of the season, City have been absolutely outstanding. It's just this last hurdle of the Champions League, which obviously is turning out to be a real problem for them.
What about Chelsea then? Because most of the commentary has been around the failure of Pep to bring what people would perceive to be the better team to victory. But it's an incredible achievement for Tuchel, and it really hints at the potential for this Chelsea team to be like incredible over the next couple of years, and to go toe to toe with City, hopefully over a title race as well.
Yeah. I mean, they're an outstanding side. Do I think with what they've got they can win the league next year? No, I don't. I think you know, they create not lots of chances, but enough chances. And obviously, at the moment, one of the problems is converting them. Although Koscielny did that at the weekend, so. They will buy a striker. It's obvious. I mean, they're pulling away. I think Abrahams will probably be sold, and maybe one or two others on the fringe of that squad. And I think that they will go for, you know, the best striker that they can possibly get. The other thing as well is that obviously Tuchel's come in, done a fabulous job, so it was the right thing, obviously, sack Frank Lampard, even if it's unlucky for him. But I would also say, in terms of Abramovich, I mean, I don't even know if he's been to any game this season apart from the one at the weekend. I don't even know if he's been to the away games in the Champions League. But it might just as well have got his kind of want to kind of, you know, get Chelsea up there to actually win the league. Might give him a little bit more hunger, saying, you know what, this fella really knows what he's doing. Let's go and get, well, as you say, they'll be in for Kane. But let's go and get the best striker available, and maybe one or two others, and let's have a real go for it. Because, you know, these billionaires don't like coming second, do they? Third or fourth or whatever. I know they won the Champions League, but the holy grail is to win the Premier League, because it's the toughest competition, just purely and simply because of the fact of the 38 games. And as we know, in the Premier League, teams towards the bottom can beat teams towards the top, and it happens on a semi-regular basis.
I think you're right. It does feel like certainly the newspapers this morning are all suggesting that there's going to be a surge of cash available for Thomas Tuchel.
Okay.
He's triggered a new clause in his contract, which gives him an extended amount of time and a pay rise. And look, you know, obviously we've been here before. There's no guarantees when it comes to Abramovich, but maybe he's finally found a manager who might have a couple of seasons.
Well, I think, you know, it's well documented with Abramovich. He actually did an interview a while ago, and he said the only person he shouldn't have sacked was Ancelotti. So, I mean, he's had an awful lot of managers, as we know. Look, I think it's one of them with him, isn't it? He looks at his team, as long as they're winning and they look like they're going to be successful, then obviously the manager's a favourite. As soon as they start losing games and there are one or two problems, Chelsea as a football club get very, very itchy, and they just get rid of the managers and they go get somebody else. But you would have to think, with what Tuchel's done, I mean, he can't really have done much better, can he, apart from maybe winning the FA Cup or something. So he has to strike while the iron's hot now and really seriously strengthen his team and make it outstanding and make it with a real serious chance of winning the league. And if he does so, he'll be fine.
We've obviously talked a good bit about how great Phil Foden is and how big a career he can have. If you were to compare the quality of the youngsters at Chelsea with the quality of the youngsters at Man City, Chelsea's youngsters are just as good, if not better.
Well, no, they've come on, most definitely. But I know quite a bit about City because I know one of the guys there in the academy and stuff, and they've got a whole cast of players, young players, who are going to come through. And I don't think Chelsea are in quite that situation at the moment. And, you know, City have been doing this for a few years. The two Spanish guys, basically, which run the club, no expense spared. And you look at the number of players that they've got away on loan. But I think kids-wise and academy-wise, I think City are miles ahead. But, of course, you know, you don't know with these lads until you get them in the first team whether they are going to be superstars. I mean, Foden obviously is going to be because he's got massive ability, and we'll just wait and see. But I tell you what it does do. When you look, and I know the season's finished and we're all like on our holidays or doing whatever, but now all of a sudden when you look, you're thinking about August, you're thinking about the Premier League, and you're looking at the teams arguably being the top four. I tell you what, we can have the best chase and challenge for the Premier League than we've had for a long time in terms of teams actually got a real chance of winning it, rather than maybe you would say this at the start of the season, Liverpool and Man City. But we might have four, including Man United, which would be great.
Yeah, I think that was the other thing. Last thing is the quality of the actual match itself was a real testimony to both teams, because they went for it. And so many of these finals have been nervy affairs. That wasn't the case on Saturday night.
No, well, I played in a couple, and they're horrible because, you know, straight away, that you know, it's the biggest club game in the world. No matter where you are in the position you play in the team, you're very much, oh, my God, please don't let me make a mistake that's going to cost us the European Cup, because it's such a vaunted trophy. But, yeah, no, they did. I was surprised. I mean, I'm actually in Mallorca, and I was watching it with all the locals and stuff. And you could tell with the locals that, you know, they love the way that the game, especially when it started, you're thinking, wow, this is going to be a proper game, which is good. Which is good. The only problem was, of course, there was only one goal, etc. But no, I think in just looking at the product was very, very good on Saturday night.
Mark, great stuff. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Pleasure.
Mark Aronson giving us some thoughts on the Champions League final there. How many players did Chelsea need to be able to sustain the league title challenge next season on?
One.
Just one?
One. They need to sign an out-and-out goal scorer, and it's not going to be Harry Kane. Mark Lawrenson is banging the money there. They're not going to be able to prize him away from Tottenham, and he probably wouldn't go to Chelsea anyway. I think City would be in a much better position.
Haaland
would be the best option available if Kane's not available, but absolutely Romelu Lukaku and his reunion with Chelsea Football Club, I think, would be a more than decent option for Chelsea this summer. I think that this is not any reflection on the business they did last year. I think it would actually fit in perfectly with what Timo Werner can actually provide to the team, because I thought the Werner and Havertz signings last summer were always going to be extremely exciting, and I think we're now at the realisation that Werner's never going to be a prolific goal scorer. I think he can be an excellent footballer for Chelsea and make those sorts of runs that he did for the goal at the weekend.
You'd like him to be able to stick it in from 2 yards. That'd be good.
It would be good, but hopefully you have somebody like Romelu Lukaku who will do that instead. And Timo Werner could be the sort of fella who's cutting in from the wing and actually providing, I don't know, defter finishes. It's wishful thinking for sure when it comes to his own goal tally, but I think they need one player. They need a poacher. They need a Romelu Lukaku, and then I think they can contend for the Premier League next season, no question.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.